Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. This is a special edition for us, and I felt it was, a necessity. This young man that we're bringing on the show tonight is truly what the sport is supposed to be about. You know, he puts his family and friends first, and then the sport, and then himself. And when you combine all that together, you truly get a humble individual in life, and a man that truly walks to, a beat of integrity. With that being said, I'm going to welcome Benito, what do I always screw up on your shows, bro? Benito Lopez, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it. It's an honor.
You know, in 2 years that you've been coming, it's probably been a little longer than 2 years that you've been coming on my show. I think I screw up every time. I don't know why. I think it's because I try to outdo myself on the last one with you, and I end up putting my foot in my mouth. But, you went out there for Dana White's Contender Series, and I think you not only proved to the world, but you proved to yourself that Benito Lopez is here to say, what did you take away after Dana White's Contender Series? What did you take away from that fight?
Well, it was a tough fight. The guy I fought was really gritty, but if there's anything I could take away from it, it's all the things I can improve on and needed to work on a little more to maybe have gotten the finish in the fight or won more decisively. But, just a few things I need to work on. Go back in the gym, go right back to the drawing board. I hit strength and conditioning this morning. We got back to Vegas last night, from Vegas last night, so... I'm going to get right back in the gym, go right back to work, and keep improving.
Yeah. How does this feel for a young man that got his debut in Bellator, still has an undefeated record, then you jump from Bellator to King of the Cage and now the Contender Series? When you look back over your shoulder, Benito, did you ever surmise that you would get this far this quick?
I honestly, since I was a kid, I believed in it so much, and I would just dream in it, visualize it every night, and I would just dream about it so much that I did eventually think it would come, or I wouldn't have chased it so long. And I also believe in the law of attraction, which has a lot to do with that as well. So once I started studying that and believing in that, I believed way more, I believed even that much more that it was all meant to be, and it's just a matter of time. That's what it always has been. I felt like it was just a matter of time before I got the call eventually. I just had to put on a performance in front of the right pair of eyes.
Well said, young man. I'm going to kind of ask a silly question. I'm sure you've been asked this 1,000 times already. What was it like to kick it with Snoop Dogg and Laura Senko?
Oh, man, it was awesome. I went out to the fire room outside, and Snoop Dogg comes out, and he was like, Benito Lopez, my man. He was like, I mess with you, man. He was like, that was a good fight, dog. He was like, I want to meet your grandma. That was like one of the first things he said. He's like, I want to meet your grandma. I was like, oh, of course, man. I'll bring her in. And I had to go find my grandma, and he went to the trailer and said he'd come in a few minutes. And then I grabbed my grandma and some of my family, and we went in there, and it was just cracking jokes, hanging out. It was really cool, man.
Benito, that's one thing that initially had me bring you on the show years ago, and it's one thing that you've never changed, and you truly emulate the fact of family. But when you talk about your grandma, there's a deep love there. There's a mutual, I can't even really put words on it. I would say that the love that you have for your grandma is insurmountable. A lot of people that don't know you or have never heard this side of you before, they really don't know that aspect of you. But what is it in Benito Lopez's life that makes his grandma so special, and what is it like to be able to have someone like her, you know, cage side when you step in into a fight of your life?
Bro, there's no words like to describe it. That's probably why you couldn't find your words right there, because there's no words to really describe it. Like, I really can't, I can't put into words how much I love her and how much she means to me, and not just me, my family though. Like, there's so many stories I could tell you about her where it can kind of give you like her character, the kind of person she is, or the kind of love she has for her family. You know, like for instance, like I remember when I was like 13 or 14, I was super excited to go to Reno for some fights, and I think Tyler Diamond was fighting at the time, but one of my best friends was fighting, and I was still young, couldn't fight, but I just wanted to go and be backstage and get a ticket and go. And the tickets were like $35, $45 or something. And my grandma didn't have it at the time. I remember I asked her, and she spoiled us when she could, you know. And I asked her, and she was like, no, I don't have that. I'm sorry, you know. She's seen how excited I was and then how, like, torn I was when she said she didn't have it. I was sitting there really sad, and my grandma's sitting there. We're both sitting there. It's quiet for, like, 5 minutes goes by, and I was like, oh, it's all right, Grandma. And a few minutes goes by, and she's sitting there quiet, and then she comes up to me and is like, Mijo, I could put some of my rings in the pawn shop, you know. She was going to pawn her ring until she got paid for me to get a ticket to go to the fight. That's the kind of person my grandma was, you know. So that's just, like, one little story out of many, you know. Another thing is, like, me and my siblings, my little brother and my older sister, I have two little brothers, but at the time I think it was just one of my little brothers and my older sister. We were in foster care, and we were going to get split. And my grandma, after raising 15 of her own kids, like, she had the house to with her and my grandpa by herself, and she took us in when they were going to split us, you know, so, and then raised us all. So that's the kind of person my grandma is. So I owe everything to her, and I always have and always will, you know. She's what drives me, motivates me, inspires me to keep going. I want to give her a life she never had, you know, where she don't have to stress off anything someday.
And that's what I respect about you. And, you know, I think there's only one other fighter out of the hundreds of thousands of fighters that I've interviewed that truly speaks that way about their grandmother, and that's JT Donaldson, who I know you know who I'm talking about, you know, and...
Yeah, that's my boy.
Yeah, the grandma's boy. You know, what I love about it is, you know, from beginning of Benita Lopez, you know, under your grandma's, you know, wisdom and guidance, you truly found a spiritual walk in life, and she taught you truly what it is to represent who you are in your walk. And, you know, that just doesn't happen these days. You get this entitlement generation, you get these people that think that life should be handed to them, and then you look and here's Benita Lopez, a young guy that puts everybody in front of him. You know, other than your grandma, what is it about you, Benito, that has you giving back so much to society, so much to your friends, and what allows you to make that spiritual walk?
I don't know, man. Like, I don't feel like I've given back enough yet, honestly, but I'm going to over time, especially my community and my friends and just people who helped me when I was, like, younger coming up, you know, it was just there. So I don't think I have yet, but I plan on it. And I just know gratuity goes a long way, you know, just being grateful for everything.
You know, when you sat back after you won the Contender Series 7 and you just had a moment to reflect on that you did get signed into the UFC and that your dream finally is coming true, what did it truly mean in the heart of Benita Lopez?
Man, it meant everything, just because I've been chasing it since I was 12 years old. So when I first heard it was a little surreal. I was like, wait, what? I was like kind of shocked, but I was like, man, pumped, obviously. I stood up and I was just got butterflies, and I was like, this is it, you know, everything I worked for. This is it, but at the same time, it's just the beginning. So I'm super excited, but this is just the beginning of a lot more hard work, you know, harder work than I've ever put in, and continuous improvement. So I'm ready for it, though. I'm excited.
You know, I honestly got to say, and I don't know if you're going to take this to heart, but this is something that I feel, and as a journalist, and I remain biased, but... You know, I've known your career for a long time, and honestly, to me, once I seen the transition of you from MMA Gold to Team Alpha Male, I kind of seen a rebirth in Benita Lopez. What was it over there at TAM that put your head that much further in the game?
Yeah, I don't know, bro. Honestly, probably just the high-level people you're going up against every day. There was high-level people at MMA Gold as well, and it was a really good team, solid team, but I'm just training with guys who are, like, champion of the world or top 10 at 135, 25, 45, you know, push me every day, and honestly, just being around them every day inspires me and motivates me, because all these people were all chasing the same dream, and, you know, I had a bad habit about the fights, getting fat, taking, like, them not seeing me for a month and coming back really out of shape and, like, throwing up at the gym, and I'm not motivated to do that anymore because I just want to be back in the gym with them working, you know, just like they are getting closer and closer to the goals, you know. So they all inspire me and motivate me every day because everyone in there is year-round training.
Yes, you know, I've had Vince Murdoch, Andre Feely, and, I mean, I can name a lot of people from TAM that have been on my show, you know, and I may have asked you in the past, I'm not sure, but I'm going to ask you again anyway. You know, one thing that when I was at TAM, the greatest takeaway that I took away from each and every day of training was that at the end of the day, they have a group meeting, and everybody sits in the middle of the mat and they talk. Would you say that aspect and closeness of the group help instills and develops fighters into better warriors?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely does. Just earlier today, they had, I forget the guy's name, but he was a motivational speaker, and he's really good at it. You know, every time he talks, people leave the room with a different kind of energy they had than before he was talking. You know, he always gets everyone pumped up. And not just that, just having Uriah, some of the stuff he says, it'll, like, get deep in you, you know. Sometimes in your fight, even, like, some of the words he says back there, I thought about in my fight. So, I think it definitely is good putting positive thoughts, you know, just going over everything.
You know, when you look at life, it's kind of crazy. And you know, my show jumps all over the place, so you know that's one good thing I like about it. And the next time you come on, we'll be in syndication, so I won't be able to screw up. I'll have to make sure my I's are dotted and my T's are crossed, bro. But you know. Sometimes in life we look back and there's a lot of people who've helped us. There's a lot of people that, you know, picked us up when we couldn't even pick ourselves up. And there's people that, you know, helped mentor us in special ways. If you had an opportunity to sit back and just thank a few of them or just make a statement about what they've meant to you thus far in your career and how, you know, they helped get you through this tough time, and now you're going to the UFC. What would that statement be, Benito?
There's so many people, you know, and there's been so many people over the years who've helped me, stepped out of their way to help me, you know. And it would be thank you, obviously, just thank you, and I can't wait to make you guys more proud and continue to rise to the top, you know. I'm glad that they believed in me, you know, when they did, when not a lot of people did. Some people are starting to. Each fight, you get more and more believers, you know. So yeah, I'm just really grateful for them that they were brought into my life.
Now, you may not agree with me, but I look at your career and I've watched just about every one of your fights. And to me, the defining moment when I think Benito Lopez started to realize that you were much more than what you had thought in the past. You know, it was going back to your Dre Mitchell fight. It seemed like there was something in that fight that clicked in you. And from that point forward, we started seeing a more dominant, more prevalent warrior in Benito Lopez. Would you say that's a fair assumption?
I'm sorry, what was that? After the Dre Mitchell fight?
After Dre Mitchell, it seemed like you came out more dominant and more persistent and more articulate in your striking and your submission game. It seemed like you took away something from that Dre Mitchell fight. Maybe it was a chip on your shoulder saying, I'm not going to let this go to a decision anymore. you know, I'm going to go out there and prove myself more. It's just something, it seemed like after the Dre Mitchell fight that there was more of an instilled warrior in you. Would you say that's a fair statement?
Yeah, no, it definitely was. It wasn't even that. It was there in the Dre Mitchell fight, too. When I was in the Dre Mitchell fight, I had a 102 fever that Sunday or Monday, and I was sick all week, and I already pulled out once, and I wasn't going to pull out again. You know, I had, like, a hurt knee the first time. Second time, I had bronchitis or something. I don't know. I was notorious at that time for overtraining and getting sick. So I felt like if I wouldn't have got sick at that time, that I would have done a lot better, but I got sick, you know, and we had a war. But he was tough. Dre is nothing to take away from Dre. Dre is a warrior. He's tough, and he's definitely one of my toughest opponents I fought. And, but yeah, I was sick then. So, I don't know. I definitely did what you were talking about, the finish, though. I definitely did make that decision, like, I'm going to finish this guy. Honestly, I thought that I was going to finish my last fight. I was surprised I didn't, but that guy had the heart of a lion, and he had a really good chin on him. There was a few shots I seen his eyes roll back, and he recovered quick and pushed the pace and, you know, did what he had to do to hang on. He was good.
Yeah, you know, I talked to a few people that knew you were coming on the show, and we all came to the, you know, equal thought that it was a hell of a performance by you, though. Yeah, because your opponent was no joke, you know, so the performance that you put on was tremendous. There's nothing that, you know, of course you could have finished him, but, I mean, the thing of it is you can tell that you were accurate, you're on point, you know, you're a warrior on a mission. And that's one thing I like about your career, but, you know, each and every time you come out, you see a new facet, you know. So when you look at your career in that aspect, you know, who is it at TAM that, you know, you look up to for the most mentorship, the most guidance, somebody who has been the most prevalent in helping you gain this momentum that you've gotten now?
It's my whole team, honestly. I wouldn't be able to give that to just one person because all my coaches have their purposes, you know, and they all help me in the areas they help me in. And when they help me in those areas, I improve a lot, you know. So it's my whole team, honestly, because they all are so good at what they teach that they're all just as important.
Yes.
You know? So it's really good, my team, and high-level teammates as well, pushing me in every aspect and having all types of body types. We have short and stocky, we have rangy guys, we have strikers, we have wrestlers, we have jiu-jitsu guys, you know, so it definitely has to do with just all the team alpha.
And I agree with you. I love Tam. You know, I'm going to kind of ask you a question off topic for a second, because I look at you as the purest form of warrior here. You know, you don't use any steroids. You're family-oriented. You're great attribution to the sport. Then you go look at the situation that has reared its ugly head with John Jones. What do fighters like you who are maintaining and keeping the sport clean think about the situations like the John Jones situation that's come up with him being, you know, positive for steroids again? What are your thoughts on that situation, being that you're pure, you keep the sport clean?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have too many thoughts on those, bro, because I would never think to cheat. You know, I think everyone should be playing the game fair. I don't think anyone should cheat. And John Jones is one of my favorite fighters of all time. You know, I try to emulate his style, and it's really unfortunate that happened again. And it actually happened in the middle of my fight, I'm pretty sure. So it was kind of weird to get out of the cage and then get told that. It was kind of weird.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've shot his training camps, and then I've known DC for 18 and a half years. He's been on my show, and, you know, to see the look in his face, a lot of people took to social media, made fun of him, and this and that, but there was a lot that actually stood up and backed him. But I know the man, so to see that look in his face was just devastating to me. If this situation perplexes as being true, I think it's going to be a dark day for the sport. And, you know, John Jones, just like Nick Diaz, has been given many, many opportunities to straighten their act up, and they choose not to. You know, Benito, when I started this show, I talked one thing, and that was about your love for family, and you've already talked about your grandma. How important is it to you to have, you know, that type of support, the Lord on your side, and what is it that keeps Benito Lopez grounded in a society that is pretty well perplexed with drugs, people that want to go out and cause, you know, other issues, but you maintain who you are family-wise and you maintain who you are as a warrior. What keeps you away from that aspect of life?
Keeps me away from what aspect? Exactly, like just going crazy?
The streets.
Like
yeah, the streets and going out and hanging out in the bars.
Yeah.
I mean, because, let's be honest, you're a good kid.
For sure. Yeah, man. I like to think I am, so thank you. It's not too hard for me, you know, because I've had a goal since I was 12 years old. And although I've got distractions or I haven't been as focused as other times, at the end of the day, fighting's always been there for me, no matter what I was going through, you know. If I was going through a rut, going through a depression, going through a breakup, whatever, I've been through a lot of relationships, a lot of this, a lot of that, a lot of ups and downs in my life. But the thing I can always count on and lean back on was fighting. You know, I'd set a date and I'd start a fight camp and it would always pick me back up. So it hasn't been hard for me. And the more you get off track and you party and do this and that, you go in the gym and you get beat up, you know, by people who aren't doing that. So it's been pretty easy for me. On top of that, I want to be a role model, you know, for people from my hometown and people from just anywhere. I want to be a role model as best I can, and I want to make my family proud and my hometown proud. You know, I don't want them to be like, oh, this guy keeps messing up, you know, and then lose faith in me. I want to make everyone proud. So that's kind of what drives me. It's not too hard for me.
And it's obvious because there's a lot of people in the sport that got their eyes on you. You know, I know a lot of people in the sport, and like I said, when they knew that you were coming on the show, they're, you know, a couple of more management companies, I'll be quite honest with you, that I spoke with. And we all come to the same assumption that, you know, you're what we want in the sport, you're what we need in the sport. You know, I think your grandmother did a tremendous job. You know, Benito, I know it's hard for you to say these types of things, and it's funny, you talk about you've been through so much in life, but you're only 23 years old, you know, and here I am sitting at 51.
Yeah.
But, you know, on a serious note, just sit back and think about what I'm going to ask you for a second. Because, you know, my show is designed to show all aspects of a fighter, because everybody sees you on TV or on social media, but they truly don't know who you are. And that's kind of what I like to do on my show. But, you know, the love for your grandma is so tremendous. Your love for a lot of people in life are tremendous. But if you had to make a statement to your grandmother, you know, about what her backing you and all the years of support and the love for you, you know, for her that you have, and you had to put it into a statement, what would that statement be, Benito?
Bro, she knows. I always tell her every day, and it would just be that I love you, Grandma, and everything I do is for you, you know. She knows that because I tell her that a lot, so that's it, man. Like, I just love her, and everything I do to make her proud. And, you know, I don't want her to worry about anything.
You know, you're a righteous young man, because I remember it's probably 5 or 6 shows ago, you know, I asked you a question about that, and you said, I want to be able to buy a house and do this and do that, and never, so she never has to worry again. You know, that's the uniqueness about you that I think is your greatest quality. Yeah, you're a tremendous warrior. You're undefeated as an amateur and as a pro, but your greatest quality in life is who you are as a young man, and I want to thank you for that, because you just don't see that these days in this sport. You know, like I said, I've interviewed so many fighters, but my friend, you truly are a rarity. You know, going ahead in this interview, you know, you've seen a lot of trials and tribulations as a young man. You know, when you look back in life, what actually led Benito Lopez to the sport of mixed martial arts and continued that passion? We know you had the backing of your grandmother and your family, but what was it truly that led you to the sport at 12?
I've always been attracted to fighting, man. It's like, since I was young. Whenever I've seen a pair of boxing gloves or a punching bag or a heavy bag, I've always been really attracted to it. My fighting, or my family did grow up watching fighting, like boxing, like Oscar De La Hoya, you know, some Mike Tyson. I was a little young when that was going on, but I've always been attracted to it. And at some of the family get-togethers, there would, my cousins or uncles would bring boxing gloves, and there would just be all the little cousins boxing, going to war. And I always felt like I had a natural skill for it ever since I first put on a pair of gloves, you know. So, I don't know, I've kind of just always been drawn to it, towards it. So I, that's why I know it's my passion, you know, my purpose, because since I was a baby, I don't know, I just felt comfortable, and I just loved being around boxing, a punching bag, or anything to do with fighting.
You know, and you know you got to keep your signature trademark hair. You know, it's good luck. You know, every time you step into the octagon, you do your hair. You know, my listeners, some of them, may, you know, they're listening to you for the first time as my show has grown quite a bit. If you could, Benito, I know the reasoning, but if you could explain, you know, why you do your hair that way for fights and what it means to you in thought, what would that be?
Yeah, well, honestly, I can just tell you the story why I did start doing it. I was at a jiu-jitsu tournament, and there was a blue belt competing against one of my teammates. And my teammate actually ended up beating him, Kiba Rossetti at the time, and he choked that guy out, but I thought the guy had the coolest hair ever, and he was half blonde. So that's where I first got the idea, and then it kind of just stuck because, well, I liked the way it looked, for one. Two, my coach at the time, Bruno Lima, started calling me Golden Boy because I won a bunch of gold medals in a row, like 10 or 12, and then he started calling me that. And then I'm from Oroville, the city of gold, you know, in California, the state of gold, so it kind of all just flows in well. So that's why I stuck with it, and I'll always do it for every fight.
Now you have to, because you haven't lost the fight. So it's kind of like, you know, one of those rituals that everybody has their own little quirkiness. You know, Benito.
Yeah.
After your last fight, you obviously went back to the hotel room or wherever after dinner. And when you had a moment just to sit back and reflect on what just happened in your life, and getting this contract in the UFC, what did it truly mean to you, not just as a warrior, but as a man?
It means everything to me, man. It's weird, though, because it felt surreal after the fight, but, like, before the fight, I was feeling it. Like, I remember when I first flew out there, I was like, man, I'd have to pay for these rooms. They're in the UFC's name, and they were, like, driving us around in the shuttle, picking us up from the airport. And it was just, they gave us money to spend, so we didn't have to spend our own money while we were out there. And it was just, I don't know, everything was taken care of, and I just felt like it was meant to be, you know. I've been dreaming this stuff like that since I was 12, and now I'm walking through the door, you know. So it started sinking in before, and I felt like in my heart I was going to win, you know. I felt like I was going to win the contract, too. That's a weird thing. So I just had a weird feeling, like butterflies, when I was in there, that I was like calling my family, explaining to them how my day was going and how happy I was and how I felt like I was meant to be there, you know. I felt so excited. And afterwards, it was weird. I was like, kind of, I know how what just happened was so big, but it still felt surreal. Even still till this day, it kind of feels a little surreal. So, I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, man. I'm happy for you because, like I said, you know, I don't even know how long ago you started coming on my show. You know, I know it's been a few years now. But the thing of it is to be able to watch you grow and to be able to watch you mature into this warrior, it's tremendous. And, you know, like I said, your walk in life is truly that of a wise man and a young soul, and that's to be commended. You know, I think you got a bright future. Oh, you're welcome. I think you got a bright future in this business, you know. And the thing about it now is, now you get to walk out, you get to live your dream, you know. When you look at life in that aspect, it truly has to be a blessing. You know, if you had to write down, Benito, on a piece of paper, you know, your thoughts, knowing that you're walking into the UFC for you know, future generations to look back and realize what the thought of Benito Lopez was on his first UFC fight. If you had to write that down on a statement for a time capsule, what would that statement be?
About my first UFC fight?
Well, you know what I mean, your first actual UFC fight. If you had to, you know, write down a statement about what this night's going to mean to you, to put into a capsule for future generations to look at, what would that statement say?
Honestly, probably just 11 years of hard work. That would probably be my statement, and that would be it, you know, going into there. And that's kind of what I had going through my mind in that third round when I was getting a little tired, you know. It's like 11 years of hard work, you know, so you got to bite down. You can't just blow it and ruin it now just because you can't breathe, you know, or I was tired or whatever. I was like, I don't know, you have to go somewhere else in your mind and dig deep.
Now, you've had, I think it's 11 wins straight now. You've had this tremendous career. You've got a very bright future. You know, my friend, I'm honored that you come on my show. Like I said, you are truly what this sport is supposed to be about. When you know, us old timers, when we look at the Conor McGregors and the new era aspect and the WWE theatrics that are coming into the sport, you're the type of fighter that keeps us grounded. You're the type of fighter that gives us hope that the sport still has hope. You know, and we appreciate young warriors like you moving ahead and doing things right in life. You know, but for my listeners and for the fans of Benito Lopez, what type of man are you away from the cage? What do you like to do? And, you know, when the few minutes or moments that you do get to step away from the gym and the octagon?
Thank you, bro. Honestly, I wouldn't say I have the most exciting life because I don't do too much. I train, go home, hang out with my family, you know, hang out with my girlfriend. But, I mean, I play video games. I go shooting. I like to go fishing when I can, but the last year and a half, 2 years, I've been really busy. I've been going to the shooting range when I can, but fishing, I haven't even got my license this year. So, I can't imagine me having more time on my hands now that I'm in the UFC, you know. But when I can, I do enjoy fishing and going to the gun range and hanging out with my family, my nieces, and my friends. It's been a grind, you know, and that's just how it is. And I know I'm not going to be in my athletic prime forever, or I can't fight forever, you know, so I got to get it out while I can.
You know, my friend, it seems like you are just pretty much, as I stated with other world champions on the show, that there's certain individuals, you know, that are warriors that are just born into the sport. They're born to be what you are, and I truly think that is the case here. You know, I look at the sport,
I agree,
and I love it. Yeah, you got to be born into it because, I mean, you look at it, 12 years old, you already had this dream, you had this ambition, and then you get this tremendous aspect of family and, to, you know, to back you and to help you move forward in life. And, you know, it just seems like everything on your path was laid out for you in the manner that you wanted it to be. Now you get to live your dream. And after all these years, I finally get to say Benito Lopez is going to be in the UFC, and you know I'm stoked about it, man. I'm proud for you because I know how hard you worked. I know what this means to you. You know, how do you handle the pressure
now? Thank you, bro.
Oh, you're welcome. How do you handle the pressure now of going from, you know, really great promotions in Bellator and King of the Cage and some of the local promotions you've been on, but how do you feel you're going to handle the pressure now of jumping up in the UFC, and when do you think you're going to be in the octagon next?
I'm not sure when I'll be in the octagon next, but hopefully sooner than later. I was a little sore this week, but I feel good now. And I don't know, bro. Honestly, a lot of people say it's a lot of pressure, but I don't feel any pressure. So that's why I feel like I was kind of meant to do this. I don't feel any pressure. To me, it's just fun. I'm just going out there and having fun. I'm lucky. Like, a lot of people say it's a lot of pressure and they wouldn't know what to do, this and that. But I just had my 16th fight, because my next one will be my 17th, and I'm starting to get the hang of it. And I'm lucky. I get to go out there and perform, you know, and get paid to do what I love. I get to go out there and do what's fun to me and make a lot of money doing it now and do it in front of a lot of people. That's the part that scares most people. But what most people don't get is after the first strike lands, you know, you block out the crowd, you know. You're not worried about who's in the second row watching you. You're just worried about not getting hit and hitting them, you know.
You've done a tremendous job of it. You know, I got a couple more questions for you, and then we'll let you get, because I know you've had training today, and, you know, I know you're just getting back into town, and, you know, you probably want to get some rest. But, you know, one thing I do like to add to the show is, you know, the tremendous ability that you've exuded has truly gotten you where you're at. And, you know, I think the future is bright for you. You know, there's a lot of people that have their eyes on you, as I stated earlier, because you've jumped into the sport so quick and you've made such a name for yourself so fast that, honestly, I'd be like a 13-year-old get a school girl, but you seem like you got everything pretty well nailed down, bro. And it's funnier than hell because I've interviewed people that, you know, have been in their career for a long time, and they're nowhere near have the mindset that you do for the sport or the love for the sport. You know, when you look at it in that aspect, you know, what would you say would be your most memorable moment as you leave all these other promotions to go into the UFC? What part of your career prior to you going into the UFC now will you take away as your greatest moment?
That's a tough one, man. I mean, on paper, it'd probably be like the Bellator one because it was my pro debut and it's for Bellator. But, like, for me, like, my personal favorite, I would probably have to say when I won my first belt ever as an amateur. Till this day, it was my third fight in against Tyler Hoffman. And, you know, when you do everything for the first time, it's different. Like, your first time doing everything, it's, like, more exciting in a way, you know? And then you do it a few more times, and it's, like, you don't have as much energy as you did the first time, you know what I mean? So the first time I won my amateur belt, I remember the crowd chanting my name. It was the first time I ever heard that, and it was, like, everyone I grew up with in Oroville and everyone's parents, you know, and just all my best friends, my family, and everyone was there, you know? And I remembered I seen everything so clearly, and I ended up knocking the guy out in 12 seconds and then putting the belt around my waist. And at the time, that meant everything, you know. I thought that was everything. I've been training forever for that moment, you know. And then that would be number one for sure. And it's crazy to say that, but that's just how I feel to say that. And then probably my first pro or my first amateur MMA fight, even, because that was my first time getting a taste of everything. Like, I pictured it so much. I played the video game so much. I watched every fight. I studied everyone. And then going through the lights myself and then having the rest, like, check your cup, check your mouthpiece, ask you if you're ready, and then going in, you know, and fighting and then feeling the energy of all that was insane too. So, yeah, probably my amateur days, which is crazy. Besides being signed to the UFC, obviously, that was definitely my favorite moment. Like, it threw me off.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's everybody dreams of that moment, you know. It's like, honestly, I get a lot of legacy fighters. I do a lot of King of the Cage and Bellator. And, you know, everybody says, you know, I want that dream. I want the UFC. You know, everybody just wants that on their resume. Now Benito Lopez has it on his resume. He gets to put it on his resume. And you did it in a very short amount of time. I mean, we talk about your fight career. Of course, it's long. But, you know, it takes a lot of warriors many years to get where you're at, and you've done it in great fashion with great integrity, and you've remained undefeated, and it obviously hasn't changed who you are. Benito, I'll ask you one more question, and I'll let you get for the evening. If there was a message you can give to your fans and everybody who's backed you up until this point in time, if there was a way you could say thank you or just let them know how much you appreciate the people of Oroville, family members, and or just anybody who backs you, what would that statement be, my friend?
it would just be that I love you guys and thank you for always supporting me and believing in me and being a part of this crazy journey. I love you guys, and I really appreciate having you guys in my life. You know, I'm really grateful for it, and I can't wait to keep making you guys proud and keep climbing the ring. And also, I would like to add, sometime on Monday afternoon, I think me and the family, we're going to have a barbecue, and the UFC is going to do like a day in the life with me, and I think they're going to be filming, so everyone's welcome to come. I'll figure out the times and post on Facebook, but yeah, we'll come and celebrate the win and have some good food, and then it'll be filming for the UFC as well, so it'll be pretty cool. So come be a part of
that. That would be pretty cool. I wish I could fly the 2,300 miles out there, bro, to come spend that day with you. You truly deserve it, man. You're the epitome of the sport, my
friend.
Welcome
you.
If I can find a way, I will, you know, because one thing, like I said, you give us old guys of the sport hope that there is still true warriors. You emulate that in your walk and the warrior that you're in the cage, and it's tremendous. I love having you on the show. You know, it's truly an honor. My friend, I'm going to hand the microphone over to you. Any friends, any family, any social media sites, or just anything you would like to add to the program, the floor is yours, Benito.
Yeah, no, I just want to thank you for having me on, bro, and always having my back. I want to thank all my supporters, of course. I love you guys, everyone back home in Oroville, everyone out here in Sacramento, my team Alphamel, all my coaches. And I got to thank all my sponsors, man, and everyone who has my back. And I love you guys. I wouldn't be able to do this without you guys, you know, so... thanks for the support, and I'll be seeing you guys soon.
You know, and one of these days, I'm going to be able to do a show without losing my train of thought or screwing something up with you, Benito. You know, that's one thing I do love about live radio. It is what it's, you know, what it is. And if I screw up, everybody's going to hear it. So I don't care. But, you know, the next time you're going to come on, next time you'll be on my show, bro, my show goes into syndication next month. And I can't wait to have you back on for your first UFC fight on my new syndicated show. And that way, you know, up to 30 million people can hear you. And we'll spread the golden boy as far as we can because you truly deserve it. Once again, my friend, thank you so much for taking the time to come on my show this evening. Actually, I can't even talk this evening. It truly has been an honor and a pleasure, Benito.
Thank you, bro. It's an honor. It's been all mine, man. So thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. And I'll talk to you soon.
All right, bro. God bless.
Later, brother.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Benito Lopez. I don't know what it is. Every time I have him on the show, I screw up. And, I mean, I've had legends, world champions, and I bring this kid on. He's so humble, and he's so tremendous in life. The love that he has for his family. I mean, see, my show is usually I go after the family because it's a way to get the fighters to open up, but Benito wears his family on his sleeve, so it's kind of hard to do that. And then I just screw up every time because I get in awe of this young man. What he's done for the sport is truly tremendous, and I'm so very proud of him to make it to the UFC and do it in such an integral fashion. It's tremendous for him. You know, I'd like to thank all of my listeners. I'd like to thank Finished MMA, Juan Martinez, for making this show happen. I'd like to thank the United Way Merced, the 86ers.net, and Affliction. Without you gentlemen, I would not be able to exist. On that note, I've done 5 shows this week. I'm kind of burnt out. I want to wish everybody a tremendous evening. And my pick for tomorrow, if you're wondering what my pick is, I'm going to go against my better judgment. And I'm going to say I believe Conor McGregor wins. All of you that know me, know my reasoning behind that. On that note, you have a good night, and God bless.
You're done to me, stop, boy.